Amen. Thank you, brother. We are continuing in our series titled God Life. It's a broad title and it covers a lot of things. Right now, we're touching on this area of spiritual warfare. And we've covered 3 weeks now in spiritual warfare, specifically the evil that we wrestle with in the world, in our flesh. And the devil was last week. For the remainder of the summer, we're going to be pressing into Ephesians 6 and the various parts of the armor of God. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to turn to Ephesians 6. And we're going to jump in. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And so, Father, I pray right now, I just ask your Spirit to fill this place, both the physical place and our spiritual places, Lord. And as we talk about truth, we ask that you would pour your truth into us and break any lies that the enemy has placed there. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we read about this idea that we are battling against the devil's schemes. That the enemy is trying to deceive us, trying to take us apart, trying to take us down. And today we're going to be talking specifically about the belt of truth. And it ties in really well with last week, because we read last week and spent some time in Genesis 3 around how Satan is a deceiver. That's what he does. He seeks after us. He tells us lies. He gets us to believe those lies. And then we take those lies out with us. We cause harm to people around us. We cause harm to ourselves. And so we're going to press in today to what truth is, understand a little bit about lies, and then be equipped with a strategy to take out as we discern making decisions in the world around us. I want to point out just the first thing that a couple of words here. Paul says, be strong. He says, put on the armor, and then he says, stand, stand, stand. Often when we read about and think about spiritual armor, all of this armor, we think about it more from a defensive stance. Like we're losing ground, like we're cowering behind this shield that we've got up. And really what Paul is saying, stand. Put it on and stand. Remember, we've been talking about this idea that we are on the side that wins. We can't see exactly the date when the winning happens, but we are with Jesus, and we've already won because of His work on the cross. From that, we can then stand. From that, any lie that you've heard, any lie that you've been told, any lie that you're carrying with you today can be broken. That's a little exciting. Come on. Some of us have been carrying lies for a long time. Some of us started to take on lies when we were really young, when we were a child, and somebody said something to us. You don't have to carry that lie anymore. In fact, Jesus wants to break that off and pull it out. Lord, come, have your work. Do your work in here. So Paul is discussing this in a fullness. It's not a new topic. It's something that he's brought through Ephesians for 5.5 chapters. He's spoken about Jesus, who Jesus is, the power of Jesus, that Jesus comes bringing life, light, and love to our humanity, that apart from Christ is wrecked. Just simply put, without Jesus, we are a mess. And Jesus has overcome this evil and is right now waging war against evil through us, the church. We have forgiveness through his blood. There's nothing that we've done that can separate us as long as our allegiance is to Jesus. What do I mean by allegiance? Everybody at some point has the opportunity to choose Jesus or not. We understand again that we are in one of two kingdoms. There's no in-between ground. That there's in-between ground is a lie. And as I say this, I pray that the enemy will be blinded, that your ears will be opened through the work of the Spirit, that you will hear that this is not condemnation. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, did he? He came to save it. And as we talk about these two kingdoms, the invitation, even as I'm speaking right now, is for you to step fully into the invitation of Christ, where lies have no power, where lies are broken. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Now, let's first understand there's a Greek word that's used for this armor. It's called panoplion. Panoplion. And it's this complete set of defensive and offensive armor. So it has everything that we need in order for us to be able to wage successful warfare. Too often, as I mentioned, we're putting it on defensive. But this is a complete weaponry. This is so that you are equipped. We know that the shield is that when he describes the arrows coming from the enemy, that's going to be a defensive. But if you have read about warfare, shields are actually used to push forward. Shields are used to block and to cut. They're both offensive and defensive. Now this word panoplia is used twice in this Ephesians passage and one other place in the book of Luke, 11:21. And it's actually when Jesus is being accused of being a part of Satan. And Jesus says, no, a house divided against itself can't stand. I'm casting Satan out. And he says this, when a strong man fully armed guards his own house, his possessions are safe. And in this metaphor, Satan is the one who's guarding his house, which is the kingdom of this world. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the panoplian armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. So Jesus is saying, I'm coming into this strong man's house, which is the world, the kingdom of darkness, and I'm taking over. I'm bringing my light into this place. It's an offense. We are on the offensive side. Yes, we are defending in moments, but we are on the offensive side. There's another part that sometimes we forget, that we just think that Paul is alluding to the Roman centurions and the Roman centurion armor. And obviously, he's alluding to that, but he's also capturing what was said in Isaiah and the book of Psalms. Isaiah 11 says this, and it's speaking, it's a prophecy about Christ. It says, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. Now, just pause for a second. He won't judge by what he sees or what he hears, because Jesus knows exactly what's going in our spiritual being, in our very spiritual soul. Jesus knows. That's where the judgment comes. And that's where your allegiance is. If you're here today and you're hearing this and you're going, there's something going on here, God's Spirit is inviting you to pledge, in a sense, your allegiance to him, to move into that place of belonging, that place where everything is set right. And we've got prayer teams who are going to be here up at the end of the service who want to pray with you so that you can actually enter into that place of right allegiance. David Powelson puts it really simply. He articulates it like this. To win spiritual warfare is simply to live as light in a dark world. To lose spiritual warfare is to live the darkness, to revert to what comes naturally to every fallen heart. See, Paul says, your warfare, your enemies are different. It's not the way that you see the Romans taking over the world. Paul is saying, your war is against the principalities of darkness. Your war is in that spiritual realm, which absolutely impacts the material world around us. But the place that we fight is in the spiritual world. And the way that we move there is by living as light in the darkness. By living as light in the darkness. The way that we lose is when we revert to the darkness, we revert to what comes naturally to every fallen heart. We love our kids. Beautiful. Love them. Love them. Now let's talk a little bit about a belt. What does a belt do? What does a belt do? Paul starts with truth because it's at the very beginning of our understanding. Truth is what happens when we understand that there are two kingdoms. Truth is what happens when we realign our allegiance. When we recognize that we're on this side or we're on this side. We choose to stay and remain in darkness or we choose to move into light. That happens because of the work of Christ, but it happens when we understand truth. We make that choice. Now, I'm not sure about you. Depending on what I'm wearing, sometimes my shirt will go on before my pants, but my breastplate definitely doesn't go on before my pants. My pants go on, and often, well, maybe not as often as I'd like these days, often my pants don't stay up if I don't have a belt on. Clearly, we need a belt. Pants that are always falling down distract. And warfare pants that are put on provide this armor. They protect the thighs. They protect those vulnerable lower regions. You need to have that armor on. You can't be distracted by pants falling down. Belt of truth. Without truth, if we take truth out, we have no discernment for anything. If we're not wearing truth as we engage. Now, every decision you make can be a choice towards truth or it can be a choice towards lies. And so without truth, you actually don't have any discernment in your decision making. Without truth, without understanding darkness and light, we can't make that switch of our allegiance. Without truth, we cannot discern right from wrong, good from evil. Without truth, we become lost. Now, what does truth do? In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is talking about how he is going to be leaving soon. The disciples aren't getting it. They're saying, we want to go with you. Where are you going? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you put on that belt of truth, that first piece of your spiritual armor, you are putting on Jesus. When you change your allegiance, when you shift your allegiance, you're shifting your allegiance and putting on Jesus. Now, recently it was brought to my attention by the professor of the spiritual warfare class that I went to in Ontario. He said one simple way that he engages in this spiritual armor is every day when he wakes up, he says, sometimes out loud or in his head, he says, I'm putting on my belt of truth. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. I'm putting on my shoes, which are the gospel of peace. I'm putting on my shield of faith. I'm putting on my helmet of salvation. I'm taking up my sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I heard that and I went, whoa, that makes a lot of sense. Why have I not been doing that? If every day I'm going out and I'm battling this spiritual battle, if every day I'm fighting, if every day the enemy is trying to pull me away and distract me and pull me down, how can I possibly fight without that spiritual armor? And so I began to do that. Sometimes I'll jumble up the order of it, but I think it's okay. The armor gets on. And I really want to encourage you, one of the things that we've talked about, the way that we wage this war, the way that we battle against the schemes of the enemy is by memorizing Scripture. I want to challenge you to start doing that. The thing about armor, and to use this metaphor even a little bit further, is that at nighttime, soldiers would take their armor off. They would rest. In the morning, they would wake up and prepare for battle, and they would put the armor back on. It was a daily thing. What does Paul say? Put on, stand, stand, stand. You and I, we have to make a conscious decision to put on this armor so that we can see what's coming from the enemy. Now, we read this last week. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, remember it means internalize, if you take my teaching and put it inside, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, tied to this idea of having to make this decision, having to know it, having to put on that belt, the truth will set you free. It's not just knowing truth that sets you free. It's knowing Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life that sets you free. And then it's not just simply knowing, but it's internalizing. It's becoming his disciple. It's doing it every day. We wage war on the principalities of darkness every day as we choose to live as light in this dark world. In verse 34, Jesus goes on, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever, a daughter belongs to it forever. So if the Son, that is Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Truth sets us free. Now, if truth sets us free, then lies and deceit trap us. Lies and deceit keep us in bondage. Lies and deceit are where the enemy sinks his hook into us. And we talked last week about the makeup of a hook, that Satan is seeking to bait and to trap us, to snare us. Now, further down in that passage in Luke 8, Jesus goes on, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Now, is Jesus saying you are satanic? You are seeking evil? I don't believe he's saying that. He knew that these people were caught. They were caught in rules and regulation and law. And absolutely, their sin was mixed in there. And he's pointing out again, there are two kingdoms, people. My brothers, my people, wake up, is what he's saying. He, that is the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If that is the enemy's native language, too often we, who are allied or aligned to Jesus, speak that language. Speaking lies, whether it's lies that we create or lies that we hear and interpret, that's the language of the enemy. The language of Jesus is truth. The language of Jesus builds up. The language of Jesus brings freedom. The language of the enemy binds. The language of the enemy traps. The language of the enemy holds you back. Let me ask you this question. And Holy Spirit, we ask you, give us discernment. What lies are you believing? What lies are you hearing? What lies are in your life? I'm going to give you 30 seconds right now, and I want you to just pause. And in a moment of prayer, of insight, I want you to ask God to reveal what are the lies that you have. What are the lies that are part around you, whether they're external or internal? Okay, I want you to hold that lie. And maybe you have fought it and have freedom, but it comes back every now and again. Maybe it's deep inside you and you are seeking freedom from it. If that's where you are, today may be the day that Jesus breaks it. We've got people that want to pray with you, to come alongside you, to journey with you in that. Again, all of the prayer time is 100% confidential at the end of the service. Our heart is to see God move and bring his freedom and life in this place. And in that place. Amen? Leonard Sachs, Dr. Leonard Sachs, who is a polygraph expert and professor of psychology at Brandeis University, says, "Lying has long been a part of everyday life. We couldn't get through the day without being deceptive." I read that and I went, that is awful. Right? So first of all, we understand that makes sense from a world point of view. From a secular worldview, that makes sense. From a biblical worldview, as we align ourselves with Jesus, that shouldn't make sense. We should be going, no. But too often, it's subtly crept into our lifestyle. Now, another PhD, Bella DiPaolo, who is a psychologist at the University of Virginia, confirmed Nietzsche's assertion that a lie is a condition of life, which absolutely it is when you don't have Jesus. In a study, DiPaolo and her colleagues had 147 people between the ages of 18 and 71 keep a diary of all the falsehoods they told over the course of a week. You should try that. We should all try that. Take a little journal with us, and when we say something. I thought it. 147 people between 18 and 71 keep a diary of all the falsehoods they told over the course of a week. Most people, she found, lie once or twice a day. almost as often as they snack from the refrigerator or brush their teeth. Both men and women lie in approximately a fifth of their social exchanges lasting 10 or more minutes. Over the course of a week, they deceive about 30% of those with whom they interact one-on-one. Now, I want to challenge us, church, I want to challenge us as we're talking about putting on that belt of truth to begin letting that belt influence us from the inside out, to move away from falsehoods, to move away from lies, even ones that seem like white lies. You can care for people and be honest. It's possible. Furthermore, some types of relationships, such as those between parents and teens, are virtual magnets for deception, DePaulo says. College students lie to their mothers one in out of two conversations. Now, the research, when it's referring to lying, they don't include the mindless pleasantries or polite equivocations we offer in passing, such as, "How are you doing?" "I'm fine, thanks." Or, "No trouble at all." An official lie actually misleads, deliberately conveying a false impression. So complimenting a friend's awful haircut or telling a creditor that the check is in the mail both qualify. So they're talking about this intentional deceit. Pamela Meyer, who wrote a book called Lie Spotting and did a TED Talk, said that we are lied to depending on our social interactions. And think about your world. Think about your social interactions. You are lied to between 10 and 200 times a day. 10 and 200 times a day where somebody is misleading you. Now remember the advertising, right? Think about advertising and the lies that are contained within ads. That's a lie that's told to you. We went through one last week. Still, I really like that actor. Here's the thing. It's common for people to only say parts of the truth that they feel are acceptable or that they think people want to hear and to leave the full truth hidden away. Now, I'm going to list through a couple of lies. Some are suggested by these psychologists. Some are suggested by things that we as believers struggle with. I'm just going to list them out. I want you to hear. Are any of these matching up with the lies that you hold? One would be lie by omission, so having a conversation with somebody but holding back. One would be a controlled response, so you're telling your side of the story, understanding that there's a complete other side of the story, but blocking that out so that you can present your point of view. One is exaggeration and embellishment, where a story gets bigger and better. Sometimes like the fish I catch. Fish story last week, it was actually a good fight though, the one I told last week. Gossip. When we gossip, we're telling lies. Now here are other kinds of lies. Lies sometimes suggested by the enemy against us. The first is, "I am not good enough. I might fail. I don't have enough money. This is impossible, whether it's life or relationship. I can't do this. I have no direction. I'm not pretty enough. Or I don't weigh the right amount. I might mess up my future." Here's one. "I can sin and nobody will know. Or there won't be a consequence for my sin." Or the last one, "I am a failure. God doesn't love me." Lies. Awful lies. Now there may be elements of truth and some of those things that require us to press into and discern through Jesus. But when we become a son or a daughter of Jesus, all of those things are covered through him. And we still have the working out. We still have the step-by-step. We still have the everyday put on, stand firm. that we have to do. But we have all of those things, even in abundance. It doesn't mean that there will not be difficult times. I guarantee you, you will have troubles. Jesus told us, you will have troubles. Take heart, I've overcome them all. Hold on to the truth in that. Too often we let the lies, which are the troubles, become this huge thing that engulfs us, rather than the reality that, yes, there are troubles, but they're overcome. Right? Yes. It sounds good, though. See, the next part is actually every day putting on the belt and stepping into it and believing it and living it. Because we can do it. The hard work is done. We can do it, church. All right, let me read through this part again. I want you to consider, and then we're going to wrap it up here in 1 second. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Panoplian, full armor. Not just defensive, but offensive armor. Now, the reality is there are some places that are really easy to see that you are lying. It's really easy to know that when somebody asks where you were and you say, well, I had to go to this appointment, when really you weren't at the appointment, you were doing so. We know that is clearly wrong, right? Clearly, that's a lie. There are other times when we are making decisions and we are discerning and trying to make discerning decisions where the truth isn't quite crystal clear. I use that sentence to display when it's not quite crystal clear. How do we make decisions in those places? Choosing truth is really every time you have to make a decision, you have to choose between truth and lie. Think it through, try it through. I'm sure somebody will find one small exception, but generally, as you're making decisions in life, you have to choose. What I did is I spent a little bit of time praying, how do we make decisions in those blurred areas? How do we make decisions when it comes to the media that we watch? How do we make decisions on the games that we play? How do we make decisions on the relationships that we choose to develop and cultivate? And so what I want to suggest here is a bit of a discernment, a buckling the belt, a living in the truth model. Now, for those of you who like to take notes, and this would be a really good time to get your pen and paper out. And let's jump in there. Do you have it up there, Josh? Go for it. Okay? Now, within that number two, there are a bunch of other notes that I had that I'm going to talk out a bit. But the very first thing, church, the very first thing that we have to do is pray. The very first thing is we come before the Lord and we ask Him, God, what would you have me do? What do you have for me in this? And it has to be more than a 5-second, what do you have for me? Okay, let's go. What do you have for me, Lord? Now, the reality is most of our decisions give us time. We have time to wait and to hear what God has to say. The tragedy is too many of us are so busy that we're not doing any of the waiting. I fall into that. And so one of the things that God is pointing out, you need to slow down and you need to listen for my voice. Because every time I listen, God speaks. The speaking doesn't always come in the same way. The speaking comes in different ways. But every time I listen, God speaks. So first thing is you take whatever that decision is and you pray. You hold it before God. And it may be that God speaks so clearly that it moves you right through the rest of the, there's nothing else. But if you're speaking and you're waiting to hear from God and it's time to move on to the next one, you move into a space of discerning. Now, the first place that we go to discern, making truthful decisions, choosing truth, is Scripture. How can you make a discerning decision if you're not engaged in and not understanding Scripture? How can you make that decision when you're not pouring those truths? Remember, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How can you do that if God's truth, if the truth of Christ isn't deep in you, His teachings inside? So you've got to get that Scripture. You've got to move into it. You've got to sift through it. You've got to allow it to move into the inside. Okay, the second thing is you're going to discern in community. So I'm talking about community of your life groups. I'm really excited. Dan and I had a great conversation this last week about where life groups are going in the fall. In fact, we believe that God has it on the heart of some of our people. Some of you are even here right now to move into a leadership role in new life groups. We're talking about some strategically geographic locations. And so I want you to listen. But discerning in community, do that within your life group. Do that within your church. Do that within your friendships. Do that within the broader community around you. Your community that you discern in could be on the other side of the world. Don't discern alone, okay? Discerning on alone isn't biblical. God made us to discern and to work together as the body of Christ. One body, many parts. Third thing is do some research. Let's say you're looking at what movie to watch or to take your kids to. There's a great site. It's even got a really good app called Plugged In. That will give you all the details. That will talk about anything that's a sexual reference on there, anything that has a spiritual reference on there. Same thing for gaming. Do the research. Know exactly what's going on. As you're researching, ask some of these questions, okay? This is important. This is where the enemy seeks to move in with his lies. What is at the source of this thing? What's the message being communicated? What's in the characters of this movie, this whatever, this game? What is the spiritual element? Is there a spiritual element, and which kingdom is that spiritual element? What space, remember in Ephesians 4, it says, don't give the enemy a foothold. What topos, that's the Greek word for actual space, are you opening as you engage in this? Where are you making room for the enemy to come in? Okay. So that's your discernment process there. Number three, don't ask, can I? Right? Don't ask, can I do it? Is it okay for me? I really want to do it. Can I do it? Ask, is this beneficial? 1 Corinthians 10:23, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive, is what it says in the NIV. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So as you move through these, God will be speaking in through the discernment process. He will be showing you truth. He will be showing you how to make a truthful, right, and good decision. What you're going to do is you're going to pull it all together with the last four, which is pray and make that decision. You're going to start with prayer. You're going to finish with prayer. Just like Paul does in verse 18 of chapter 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. Now, church, you have an opportunity here. Remember, fighting spiritual warfare is as simple as living and being light in the dark place around you. And what happens in every context that you're in, as you become a person of truth, the people in the world around you will recognize and they will be attracted to you. They will be drawn to you. They'll go, wow, I know I can actually trust that person. They will want to know what is going on in your life. And that is how we engage and how we fight in spiritual warfare. We put on that belt of truth. We stand firm. We stand firm. We stand firm. Now we're going to move into a time of prayer. And as we move into that time of prayer, we're going to have two prayer teams. On this side, we're going to have Jeff and Lori. And if you are connected to the youth missions trip, I want you to make your way over there where Jeff and Lori are going to lead a time of prayer for you guys to cover you. Over on this side, we're going to have Dan and Jody, and they're going to be praying alongside whatever you're hearing and sensing. Maybe there's a tug on your heart to pray, to know Christ. Maybe there's this awareness that you've been wrestling with some kind of lie for a long time, since you were young. And this prayer, this coming forth, coming and confessing, coming releasing, whatever it is that's holding it there, may be that breaking point. You might walk free from here today. That's exciting, right? It's good. All right, church, can I invite you to stand? Jesus, you are truth. You modeled truth. And our prayer, Lord, as a truth, is that you would breathe your life into us. That you would draw us into a place where we have that freedom to choose truth all the time, the freedom to be your light in the midst of darkness. And so in Jesus' name right now, I pray for each and every person standing. By the power of Christ, I break off any lies. I draw attention to any lies that are there. I command the enemy to be silent. In your name, Jesus. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give courage. Courage to cry out. Courage to come forth. Courage to seek freedom. Freedom that we have in you. And so we move from this place, Lord, with an excitement about what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.